prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our sufferings. And all the while you hear each spoken plea. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops and your healing comes through tears? And a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near. And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each spoken plea, and long that we'd have faith to your blessings come through raindrops and your healing comes through tears. And a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near. And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when time deceives you, when we know if your blessings come through raindrops and your healing comes through tears, and a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near, what if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater world this world can't satisfy? And what if this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Amen. What a blessing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. What a blessing. So true. Listen, our world today, we've kind of got it backwards. You hear people say everything's about prosperity. It ought to be money. It ought to be everything just you know, money. Our blessings are by good fortunes and material things, but that's not the way it is. Our Bible tells us, Old Testament, they were blessed by prosperity. New Testament Christians, you know what? We suffer. The New Testament speaks on suffering Christians. And many times you'll find our blessings comes through the tears and the different trials that we come through. And what a blessing. Good song this morning. Bless. Brother Donnie, I feel you this morning, brother. I feel you. I had a song. I was excited about hearing her sing, but I had a song in my heart that heard Brother Duddy sing years ago, and it was one of those when I was just really getting into the ministry, and it really just changed my life. And I think about every time I hear it, I think about Brother Donnie here. Brother, you feel it? Thank you. You need a mic.
Sweet, that song.
Daniel, you come on, brother. You preach for us this morning. And we'll see which way the Lord goes, leads. After that, if you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. And before Daniel comes, brother Daniel, anybody got a testimony? Any of you older teenagers? Amen. Brother Daniel, preach.
Thanks, brother. Thank you. Excited to be here. Wow, that was good. Yeah. Didn't know they sang this good. Man, that was awesome. And I tell you, there's something that I miss being the Spanish church is not being here at Holy Ground. And I used to sit in these pews, and I used to enjoy these services, and that's the greatest thing that I miss being pastoring over there is the fact that I can be here and hear this good music and just be here with y'all. But it's good to be with Brother Kelly. Again, I enjoy being with him all the time. And well, let's open our Bible, Psalms, Book of Psalms, and let's get started. And boy, that was incredible music, Brother Muse. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. And Allie, that was great, great, beautiful song. That was so nice. Wow. Psalms chapter 51. And let's stand up for the reading of the Word of God. I actually brought me an English Bible today. And I'm going liberal. I just don't tell my people I'm reading an English Bible. Psalms chapter 51 and verses 1 and 2. And let's read these verses together. Psalms 51, 1 and 2, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And I want to talk about these three words that appear here in the Bible. And it says, number one says, blot out my transgressions. So I want to talk about, number one, transgressions. Then number two says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So I want to talk about sin, iniquity, and transgression. About sin, iniquity, and transgression. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being so good to us. Lord, we love you. Pray, dear God, that you speak to us in these next few moments, Lord. I believe the hearts have been prepared, God, and thank you for this good music, God, that we were able to hear, Lord. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit that has already started moving amongst us, God, and it's been working in my heart, God, and I pray that you use your word, Lord, like a sword this morning, God. I pray that it be a mirror, that we may be able to look into it, God, and see what we can fix, what we can change, God. Speak to our hearts. Don't let it be just another day, another chapel hour, God. Let it be a life-changing moment, God, a day that we look back into and we say, this was the day, that was a time that God worked in my heart, God, that I made that decision, that I surrendered, God. I pray that today be someone's day of salvation, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I need three guys up here. Let me get me three guys up here. Let's see. Zach, get up here, and you'll be one of them. And Joe, I can't preach a sermon without Joe. Get up here, Joe Mashburn. And let's see, Pablo, get up here, Pablo. And you didn't know we had a Pablo in the school, did we? Did you? And we've got all types of people here. We have Rufios, we have Alejandros, we have Adelinas, we have all sorts of Spanish people in this class, in this school. All right, so I'll have you, Pablo, I'll have you stand over here. And then Zach, you can stand in the middle. And then Joel, you can stand over on this side. And I feel more comfortable calling them Spanish names, you know? I feel more at home. But the Bible talks about, and these three guys are going to, they're going to symbolize three different stages of sin. The Bible says, y'all heard about the story David sinning, when David sinned against God. How many of you know about David's sin? And you know, 1 Kings chapter, I think it's 15, it talks about that he did everything that God wanted him to do, save Uriah the Hittite, what he did. And David committed a great sin, the Bible talks about. And of course, we know he killed a man. We know he took his wife. And we know he committed a great sin. In chapter 51, David is asking God for forgiveness. And David is telling God, cleanse me thoroughly because of the sin that I have committed. And he mentions three words for sin. One of them is sin, and you're going to be sin, okay? And I don't think no one could be better than you for this. So he'll be sin. And then Zach is going to be iniquity. So what is Joe? What is he? Sin. And what's Zach? Iniquity. And then Pablo over here, he's going to be transgression. So what is Pablo? Transgression. So he is what? Sin. And he is? Iniquity. And he is? and he is transgression. So we have three things that David is asking God to cleanse him thoroughly. He's talking about one sin that he committed. He says, God, cleanse me thoroughly. And he mentions three things. He says, God, I need you to clean me from my sin. I need you to clean me from my iniquity. And I need you to clean me from my transgression. So he goes through all these three. That's why he says thoroughly, all the way, all three of them. I need you to clean them all out. And they're all, we mainly, especially if you read the Spanish Bible, and you see that they are all sometimes used, how do you say that, in exchange, one for the other? They'll call it sin, but there's three different types. And you can see that in Exodus. I'm not going to go through all of it. But sin, iniquity, and transgression. Let's see what's the difference between these three. What's the difference between sin, iniquity, and transgression? David committed all three of these. And he's telling God, cleanse me from all these three things that I did when I killed Uriah and when I took his wife Bathsheba. He said, I did all these three. He said, I need you to clean me from all three of them. So let's find out what these three are to see how David did them. The first thing is sin. What is sin? And to know what is sin, we're going to go to the Bible and let's find out about David, what he did. Let's go over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Let's find out what is sin. 2 Samuel. Chapter 11. Verse 1. It says, and it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David tarried still in Jerusalem. What is sin? And now, keeping that verse in mind, and I'll come back to that, let's go to the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 17. James 4, 17. Keeping that verse in mind, James 4, 17 says, let's read it all together. Ready? It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It is sin. So what is sin? The first thing is sin is not doing what I am supposed to do, or the sin of omission. Sin is me not doing what I know I'm supposed to do. What was David supposed to do? Does somebody know? He was supposed to go to war. And what did David do? He did not go to war. He stayed at home. Sin is when you know you're supposed to do something and you choose not to do what you know you should do. How many of you know you ought to read your Bible? If you didn't, now you do. And if you don't read it, that is sin. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It is sin. How many of you know how to pray? You know you should pray. If you don't pray, guess what you're doing? You are sinning against God. Why? Because God says to pray without ceasing. The Bible teaches us that you should pray. And you say, Pastor, but I ain't doing nothing wrong. I know, but you're not doing right either. And you not doing right is sin. Sin is when I know that I should be in church and I don't go to church. Sin is when I know that Sunday is the Lord's day and I choose to stay home and watch TV. That's what sin is. So sin is knowing to do good and not doing it. David knew he had to go to war. And did he go to war? No. Where did he stay? He stayed in Jerusalem. Stayed at home. He stayed in his bedroom sleeping and he sent everybody else to war. But he didn't go to war. So sin is knowing to do good and not doing it. Now let's find out what's iniquity. Iniquity, and because of time, I'll go a little quicker, but iniquity, and let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And if you want to hear more about this, you got to come to my Spanish church tonight. You just won't understand anything. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. It says the Bible, let's read it all together. Ready? Isaiah 53:6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the what? The iniquity of us all. Iniquity is the drifting away slowly. Drifting away slowly. The Bible says that we are like sheep going, was that astray? Going astray. And it's referring to a sheep that sees something beautiful on this side and starts kind of wandering off and goes over to this side. And it's a slow process that it kind of starts going a little bit to the side. And when you least know, you know, I don't know if I told you about that one time that I went with my wife on a boat. And we were in Mexico, and my wife is a great swimmer. She can swim, like, you know, to the front and to the back, and, you know, like with her legs up and down, and she's crazy stuff. And I don't know how to swim. I don't know how to swim. And her family all knows how to swim. They all grew up in Mexico, but not me. I grew up in Chicago, and there was not there was, you know, just buildings and big rats and stuff around, so we didn't get to swim. And anyways. We went on a boat, and we were on vacation, and we went to Mexico, and we're swimming. Well, we were in the boat, and we got into the middle of the we were going from one island to the other, and the guy that was driving the boat, he stops the boat, and he says, "Okay, guys," he says, "if you want to jump off the boat, this is the time to do it." And my wife just rides in the water, and you know, her father gets in the water, and her mom, I mean, you know, it's like a dolphin, you know, she gets in the water. And I see everybody jumping into the water. So I said, you know, what the heck? I'm jumping in too. So, boom, I jumped in. But there's something. I forgot that I don't know how to swim. So I get in there. And now, thank God, we all had a lot of life vests, right? We all had life vests. So, man, it was cool. My wife was over here swimming, going, you know, having fun in the water. And her mom, you know, she's having fun. And her dad's having fun. And I'm just with my life jacket just kind of sitting there, you know, just kind of hanging around, you know. And I didn't know what to do, so I'm kind of just, you know, just kind of looking around, and suddenly I started noticing something, and what I started noticing is that my wife kept getting farther and farther. I started seeing my wife, like, you know, she was first right here where the muse is, and then I looked back a little bit later to her, but she's over like by where Brother Michael is, and then I kind of hang out for a little bit longer, and then I look again, and she's like by where Brother Jamie Perry is, and man, it's just, you know, she just kept getting farther and farther, and I'm thinking, man, what's wrong with my wife? She just keeps getting farther and farther. But the problem was not my wife. The problem was me. I just kept going with the current, kept going farther and farther and farther and farther and farther. And then I was just kind of chilling, you know, hanging there, and then suddenly I see the boat, man, and the boat looks, you know, the boat was pretty big, and now it looks kind of small. And I said, man, I said, what's wrong with the boat? And just everything, you know, my wife is way over. I mean, you can barely see her little head, you know, and I'm thinking, man, what's wrong with this? And I'm thinking, oh, wait a second. He says, my wife is next to the boat. My father-in-law is next to the boat. My mother-in-law is next to the boat. I'm the one that's far from the boat. And I was just kind of chilling, hanging out there, and I'm so far from the boat. Suddenly I started yelling, hey, people, I'm over here. And the guy from the boat grabbed a rope, and he threw a rope, but it fell about 200 feet away from me. I had drifted away that far. And eventually my wife got in the boat, and my mother-in-law got in the boat, and my father-in-law got in the boat. And the guy said, well, let's drive over there. Let's go over there to get him. So they got over there, and he threw the rope, but I was so nervous I couldn't even grab the rope. So my wife had to jump off with the rope and put the rope in my hand and pull me into the boat. And I mean, and that's what drifting away is. I mean, it's such a slow process. You don't even notice it, man. I mean, you start getting away from church. I mean, and you're at the point where you're not the Christian you used to be, but you don't even know it anymore. I mean, you're so far from the stuff you said back when you were a kid. You used to say, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And now you're a teenager and you're doing it. There's things that a long time ago, it wouldn't even cross your mind that you would see this stuff on TV. And now it's this kind of stuff you watch daily on TV and it don't bother you anymore. Stuff that before you said, I would never do it. And now you do it every day. It doesn't matter to you. Because you have slowly drifted away from God. And that's what iniquity is. Iniquity is a slowly drifting away. You see, when David became king, the Bible says that all the wives that Saul had were given to David. That was the beginning of it. And eventually his heart started drifting away towards women, to where he gets to the point where he's willing to kill a man to have a woman. See, you drift away slowly without even noticing it. You get to the point where the smell doesn't bother you anymore. You know, I go visit sometimes to some of my people's house. And some of my people that come straight from their countries, that a lot of men that live alone, a lot of guys that come by themselves to make money, to send money back home. And I think these guys don't know the word perfume or soap or vacuum or any of that. You go into these trailers, man, and I get in there to visit them. Man, it's a horrible smell. I mean, seriously. One of the guys one time told me, this was back when I lived in Chicago. I came for a visit. And one man said, hey, you can stay in my house. And I said, all right, that's fine. So I went to his trailer, and I took off the bed, that thing to fix the bed, to the covers, cover, the comforter, whatever that is, and pulled it off, man, and about 20 roaches just ran away. And I said, how could somebody live like this, man? How could these guys put up with this smell? I mean, seriously. You go in there and you say, oh, my goodness, what died up in here, man? And I'm thinking, man, how could you live with this? Well, they lived in that smell for so long, they don't feel it anymore. Seriously. It's like Iowa. I went to preach to Iowa, and what they do is that they get the horse poop, and they send it to places to fertilize. Places. And that's companies that they have of horse poop everywhere. And I got off the plane, and I went to the city to preach in Washington. And, man, I thought I had stepped on something. Checking my shoe, I told the preacher, pastor, I said, man, it smells around here. He said, what smell? And I said, what do you mean what smell? I said, it smells around here. He said, oh, it's probably those factories that we have here that we sent that horse manure out to fertilize things. And I said, man, and I went to the church and it smelled the same way. And I went to the pastor's house and it smelled the same way. And everything smelled the same. And the people in Iowa didn't smell it because they were used to it. And some of you, you've been in sin for so long, you don't smell it anymore. You're used to it. It doesn't bother you anymore. You're used to it. And that's what's iniquity. Iniquity is a slowly drifting away. But then we get to transgression. So sin is me knowing what I should do and I choose not to do it. Iniquity is slowly drifting away. And transgression, if I was preaching to my Spanish church, it'd probably be a little bit easier, because in Spanish, the word transgression in many parts of the Bible is referred to as rebellion. Rebeldía, rebelión. When I look at God in the face and I say, God, I know what I should do, but I don't care. I know that taking his wife is wrong. I don't care. See, David wasn't a victim. David knew what he was doing. I mean, a man that has written, what, about 43 Psalms, or what, 73 Psalms? Yeah, 42 of them after, of course, he had sinned. But 73 Psalms, he knew what he was doing. And he chooses to look God in the face and say, God, I know it's wrong, but I don't care. I will kill the man. I will take his wife. I am keen. I can do whatever I want. And that's transgression. Transgression is rebellion. Transgression is when you come to a chapel like right now and you just don't care. It don't matter if the preacher preaches about it, you're still going to do it anyways. It don't matter if mom and dad tells you not to do it, you're going to do it anyways. It don't matter if Brother Greg says it's wrong, it don't matter, you're going to do it anyways. Transgression is rebellion. When you look at God in the face and you say, God, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it anyway. And David got to the point where he committed transgression. Now, you can't commit transgression unless you first committed iniquity. And you cannot commit iniquity until you have first sinned. My question is, where are you right now? Sin, iniquity, or transgression? See, David had transgressed against God. But then we see that he met a man named Nathan. He was a preacher, a pastor, the man of God, prophet. And Nathan says, hey, man, he says, do you realize what you have done? You took away the only person that, he says, man, you inherited all of Saul's wives. You got a whole bunch of wives. And you took the one that Uriah had, just that one. And David recognized that he had committed transgression against God. And then we read Psalms 51. He says, cleanse me. Forgive me. He actually told Nathan, I've sinned. Where are you at right now? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Those people that commit transgressions don't start committing transgression. You know where they started? Not reading their Bibles and not praying, not going to church. Those people that did some stupid mistakes in their lives that they, you say, man, how could he have done that? He didn't start there. He started drifting away slowly. He started hearing the wrong kind of music. Slowly. I don't care what kind of music it is. It's not godly. It's not the right type of music. Brother Daniel, but we're out in the country. I don't care. I'm from Puerto Rico. There's my country. There's my type. If it's not godly music, it ain't God's music. Simple as that. We start drifting away slowly. Things that now we start accepting that long time ago we don't accept. Things that before were sin and now they're just common and ordinary that we accept. It's just, Brother Daniel, we're in a new age. It's a new time. Yeah, we keep drifting away slowly. Churches drift away slowly. First they start with a little beat and a little beat and a little beat. And then the next thing you know, they have a rock band singing on Sunday mornings. Churches drift away slowly. And then the next thing you know, we end up in transgression. Looking at God in the face and saying, we know it's wrong, but it don't matter. I'm going to do it anyways. It's your decision. David had a decision to make. He knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. Chose to sin against God. Where are you at? Sin, iniquity, transgression. Let's pray. Every head bow, every eye closed. Brother Kelly.
Father, we come this morning, God, we thank you for the preached word of God. Now we ask the Holy Spirit to do what we can't. Oh, God, convict hearts this morning. Speak to us, Father. Oh, Father, I pray if there's someone here that needs you as Lord this morning, this would be the morning. But, God, there may be a young person here that just realized, I'm saved, but I'm not where I should be. I see that I have sin in my life. I see that even I'm in iniquity. Or maybe I'm even in transgression this morning. Oh, Father, I pray you deal with our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great message, Brother Daniel. Listen, I believe this morning the Word of God spoke with somebody's heart. It did mine. I wonder this morning, do you find yourself in one of these three categories this morning? Listen, some of you done cut your ears off because you was convicted. They start talking about church and being at church and reading your Bible and praying. You done cut your ears off because by the line you're over here in transgression, but you're not going to hear it this morning. Some of you are all right exactly where you're at. You feel like you're all right exactly where you're at. My. Brother Daniel, I appreciate the prophet Nathan going to and telling him. A few verses later in verse number 10, I like what David did. He got to the point where he realized exactly where he was at. Verse number 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. And that's exactly what some of us need to do this morning. Listen, some of you, listen, I know, listen, I played the game many a times. Some of you are playing that game. Some of you've got on that mask this morning. Some of you could care less about God and the things of God and the spiritual things
about God this morning. You could care less this morning. I know you need to wake up. You're in sin this morning. Listen, some of you are in rebellion towards God. Some of you may be in rebellion toward your parents this morning. Whatever they say, you blow them off. You blow up on them. I know you need to get your heart right this morning. We, at this time that we live in, more than ever before, do we need to strive to walk with the Lord. Listen, I know that we live in a time where it's different than ever before. The times have changed. And listen, I believe this, we're living in the last days. I believe that. And the temptations and the trials are stronger than they ever been before. That's why I do believe it's so necessary that we as Christians, that we stick together and we strive to do everything we possibly can to stay right before the Lord. Heard the preaching this morning. Do you line up in one of those three? Be good this morning if somebody just say, it's not about me, Lord, but it's about you. I believe the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, spoke to somebody's heart this morning. You realize, man, you're in rebellion. There's a spirit about you that shouldn't be there. This morning you need to clean up. You just need to do what verse 10. David said, I'm tired. I need to be washed thoroughly. I need to be clean. You know what I'm talking about. You ever been to that point where, man, you had sin in your life? It was just like a heavy burden always there. It was just like a load that was upon you. When you woke up, when you went to sleep, there was just a burden there. That's old enough, you know what I'm talking about. It's been many times, Brother Daniel, that I've walked in a church and just had that burden, just that weight upon me. But I was able to get down in the altar somewhere and just pray and say, God, forgive me of my sins. It's just like a weight released off of me, a burden gone. Listen, some of you are, and I pray, but not so, but some of you older ones kind of got past that sin. You're kind of right here in this iniquity. And it could be music, it could be rebellion, but it could be those little sexual sins. You get a comfort zone. Watch out, they take you a little further. Until the point where we rationalize and we try to tell God why it's okay. When it's not okay. This morning, can we search? Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about who's around you. I'm talking about you this morning, that we search our own hearts. Oh, can we search our hearts this morning? Where are you at this morning? Let's stand to our feet. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You've never been saved. Maybe this morning you need to come to know Him. Say, preacher, I don't know. Maybe this morning you need to come say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Save me. But if you're here this morning, listen, young people. Most of you here, you're affiliated with a church somewhere, with a youth group somewhere, and you saying, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Then our everyday walk ought to match up with that. Our everyday walk should match up with that. Do you find yourself in sin, iniquity, or transgression this morning? If you do, I encourage you. Just say, create in me, O God, a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.